Hello, friend. I'm so grateful you're here. Welcome to the Today I Am Enough podcast, season 3. This season, we are taking time to better understand who the women in the New Testament are and their experiences. We will learn more of them, their story, and how Jesus Christ tutored their lives. We will learn more about how much Jesus Christ loves women. We have been reading the Book of Mormon, and this is our last Book of Mormon podcast, so I'm not going to introduce all of that like I normally do, but I am so excited. I hope you have loved reading the Book of Mormon. I hope you have loved reading it cover to cover. I hope you got different things out of it than you normally do. So I want to make sure that you are getting the emails. If you are not signed up for the emails, you can go to my website and there is a link todayimenough.com. There is a link to sign up for the Book of Mormon study group. And you will get an email that has the promises of the Book of Mormon. I would love for you to read over those now that we're done. I want to see which promises you have recognized in your life. And I want you to take time. We'll talk about it more, but to take Moroni's invitation at the end of the Book of Mormon in chapter 10. The biggest news I want to make sure you know about is on April 21st at 7 p.m. Eastern time, we are doing a live Zoom call with anyone in our Book of Mormon group. There is a link in the newsletter that was sent out, the email that was sent out today, where you can sign up to come to the Zoom call. I just need your email so I can make sure to email it out to you. I just need to know that you are interested in coming. The Zoom link will go out to everyone in the group, but if you could RSVP, then we'll know how many people will be there. So April 21st, 7 p.m. Eastern time. I did a poll. I got a lot of different results. I live on the East Coast, and I know that doing it a little earlier can be tricky with dinner and kids and things like that, but I can't do it later. So 7 p.m. was really the last time we could do it. I have it scheduled from 7 to 9, but we will see if we go that late. But I would love for you to come to this Zoom call with what you learned from reading the Book of Mormon in 90 days, the promises that you recognized that we were told by prophets that we would receive from reading the Book of Mormon daily. And I would love to know your favorite story that you read or your favorite thing that you learned. You guys, my dog is having a hard day, so he might bark here and there. I'm really sorry. It's just kind of how it's going to be today. He's just feeling stressed. All right. This week, we have Ether 10 through Moroni 10. Oh, Ether 10. Let's start there. A lot of faith going on here. So Ether 10 and 11 is a lot more of the same thing that we've been reading about. Wars, the righteous becoming wicked, et cetera, et cetera. So in Ether 12, I guess that's really where we're going to start. Ether 12, verses 2 through 4, say that when Ether was a prophet of the Lord. Wherefore, Ether came forth in the days of Coriantumr and began to prophesy unto the people, for he could not be restrained because of the Spirit of the Lord which was in him. The people did not want to hear Ether, in case you forgot that part. And he said, cry from the morning even until the going down of the sun, exhorting the people to believe in God and to repentance, lest they should be destroyed, saying unto them that by faith all things are fulfilled. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at his right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. So we have this prophecy, this something Ether needed to say that he could not be restrained, that we need to have hope and faith and make an anchor of our souls. So then in verse 6, Moroni pops up and he wants to tell us more about faith. So throughout this chapter, faith is mentioned 36 times, if I counted right. So in verse 6, Moroni gives us the definition of faith that we quote over and over and over. That faith is things that are hoped for and not seen. Wherefore, dispute not because ye see not, for ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. So Moroni shares examples of faith with us so we can better understand what faith really looks like. So Jesus Christ coming to the earth, the law of Moses being fulfilled, Alma, Amulek, causing the prison to tremble, and Nephi and Lehi that caught that changed helped change the Lamanites, Ammon's great miracle with the Lamanites, the three Nephites. Miracles came after their faith, and it comes after our faith. And when we first show that we believe in Jesus Christ, he even mentions the brother of Jared's faith, which I loved because that was a very recent story that we've read. He says, "And behold, we have seen in this record that one of these was the brother of Jared, for so great was his faith in God that when God put forth his finger, he could not hide it from the sight of the brother of Jared because of his word, which he had spoken unto him, which word he had obtained by faith. And after the brother of Jared had beheld the finger of the Lord because of the promise which the brother of Jared had obtained by faith, the Lord could not withhold anything from his sight. Wherefore, he showed him all things that he could no longer be kept without." So the brother of Jared saw everything because of his faith. In verse 27, it says, "And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto him." So we're given weakness so that we can have faith, so that we can seek out Jesus, that we can be humble and come before him and ask for help in those weaknesses so that they can become stronger. But we also have to have faith to ask him. So our weaknesses are an opportunity to grow our faith and turn to our Heavenly Father and ask him for strength and for help. 39:39-40. And then shall ye know that I have seen Jesus, that he hath talked with me face to face, and that he told me in plain humility, even as a man telleth another in mine own language concerning these things. And only a few have I written because of my weakness in writing. And now I would command you to seek this Jesus, of whom the prophets and apostles have written, that the grace of God the Father, and also the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, which beareth record of them, may be and abide in you forever. This is going to be our last example of faith, but I love that it's Moroni. We find out that he has seen Jesus face to face and talked with him. And I love also that he says, like a man tells another in mine own language. I think it's really important to remember that the Lord speaks to us in our language, our personal language, not only the language that you speak, but in the language that you speak, even within your own self and with the Spirit. I also love his invitation to seek this Jesus, whom the prophets and apostles have written. So as you've gotten to know Jesus, I hope you've gotten to know Jesus a little bit more as you've read the scriptures. And I love this invitation from Moroni to seek that Jesus, to seek this God of miracles, this God of faith, this God that we've gotten to know over and over, who wants to help his people and wants them to repent and be baptized and have the Holy Ghost and come unto him. That's what he wants. That's who he is. He wants to help us and strengthen us. And when we have faith and let him and seek after him, we will be uplifted. So the book of Ether ends with a lot of war. In chapter 15, we are told that millions, literally millions of people have died. Coriantumr remembers that he was told by prophets and he tries to repent in verse 3. In verse 23 and 25, we find out how few people are actually left. There are 29 and 52 on each side. Then a couple of verses later, it's 27 and 32. And then eventually it's just Coriantumr and Shiz. And Coriantumr slays Shiz. He dies. And in verse 32-34, it says, "And it came to pass that Coriantumr fell to the earth and became as if he had no life. And the Lord spake unto Ether and said unto him, Go forth. And he went forth and beheld that the words of the Lord had been fulfilled. And he finished his record, and the hundredth part I have not written. And he hid them in the manner that the people of Limhi did find them." Remember, this is the record from long ago that was found. "And the last words which are written by Ether are these: Whether the Lord will that I be translated or that I suffer the will of the Lord in the flesh, it mattereth not. If it so be that I am saved in the kingdom of, as long as I am saved in the kingdom of God." We don't know what happened to Ether. We know that when the people of Limhi found the plates, there was no one there. There were bones, and that was pretty much it. It was very much a war zone that they came into. So now we have Moroni, and poor Moroni. He starts off chapter one by saying, "I had supposed not to have written any more, but I have not as yet perished, and I make not myself known to the Lamanites, lest they should destroy me." So poor Moroni has already said his goodbyes, and then he's still alive. So he decides to share a little more with us, which is great because what he shares is so wonderful. So we're just going to graze over a few of these chapters. In chapter two, it's the prayer for conferring the Holy Ghost. In chapter three, it's the prayer to ordain priests and teachers. In chapters four and five, it's the sacrament prayers. In six, it is all about baptism and repentance. And then in chapter seven, it's Moroni writing his father, Mormon's words. So it's some of the teachings that Mormon gave us. And I want to read verses 11 and 12 from Mormon in chapter 7. "For behold, a bitter foundation cannot bring forth water, neither can a good foundation bring forth bitter water. Wherefore, a man being a servant of the devil cannot follow Christ. And if he follow Christ, he cannot be a servant of the devil. Wherefore, all things which are good cometh from God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin and to do that which is evil continually." I love these few verses. I feel like there's so much. It's just a reminder that good creates good and bad creates bad. All things which are good cometh from God. Satan fights against God all the time. It says continually. And we are doing the same. We are continually fighting against Satan, against the temptations, and not to fall into his traps. There's a lot of verses teaching about light and good coming from Jesus Christ. So there's a few that I want to read over in chapter 7, because this chapter is pretty long and there is a lot in it. Verse 25 and 26 says, "Wherefore, by the ministering of angels and by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. And thus by faith they did lay hold upon every good thing. And thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that he came men also were saved by faith in his name. And by faith they became the sons of God. And as surely as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our Father, saying, Whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it is done unto you." So when we ask in faith, believing, and if it be the Father's will be given to us. Verse 33 says, "And Christ has said, If ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me." Verse 41 through 42. "And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, to be raised unto life eternal, and this because your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there cannot be any hope." I love that we need hope. How is it that you can obtain unto faith, save you have hope? So in order to have faith, we need to have hope. Hope that there is a savior. President Nelson addressed this in one of his talks, where he talked about faith. He said that even if we have a desire to believe, that is enough. So just have a desire, strive for it. Verse 45, we're going to talk about charity. "And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not and is not puffed up, seeking not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. For charity never faileth. But charity is the pure love of Christ. And it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with him. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all thine energy of heart, that ye may be filled with the love which hath been bestowed upon all who are true followers of the Son Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God. And when he shall appear, we shall be like him, For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. Those are just some verses that really stood out to me. I hope you found some that stood out to you too. And I just feel like I need to just mention something that I have coming, and I'm really excited for it. And it's been a lot of work to put together. I still have a little bit to go, but in a few weeks, I have a study coming out, an in-depth study. And Charity Never Faileth is a theme for the Relief Society. It's a motto. It's a really steady motto. And we are going to be studying more in depth the Relief Society Purpose Statement and Declaration. I have had a free version of this, but I have revamped it, redone it, and created new videos and new things that you guys are going to get as you sign up for it. And there will be a small fee associated with it, but it is going to be incredible. And I'm really, really excited to share it with you, because we are going to learn together how much Jesus Christ loves the women of our day. I've loved studying the women in the New Testament and how Jesus Christ loves them and showed his love to them, and reading about faith and hope and charity and how we can implement that in our lives and how it is a part of us as members of the Relief Society. And I'm really excited to share that with you. So be on the lookout, because it is coming and it is so good. So there's a little sneak peek that I didn't know I was going to share today. Okay, chapter 8 is all about infant baptism and how it is an abomination to the Lord. So verses 8 through 10, it says, "Little children are whole, for they are not capable of committing sin. Wherefore, the curse of Adam is taken from them in me, and it hath no power over them, and the law of circumcision is done away within me. And I know that it is solemn mockery before God that ye should baptize little children." So there is no infant baptism in our church. And that is literally what the whole section chapter is about. It's really great. Chapter 9 is a second epistle of Mormon to his son Moroni. So it's Mormon talking about the wars going on around him, which also happened to Moroni. So I'm sure it was really nice for Moroni to be able to read that. I do love verse 22 of chapter 9. He just says, "But behold, my son, I recommend thee unto God, and I trust in Christ that thou wilt be saved." And he tells him to be faithful in Christ, and may Christ lift thee up. He's just giving him some encouragement, which I'm sure Moroni needed at this time. So chapter 10, a promise and some gifts. We're going to start off in 3 through 5, Moroni 10. "Behold, I would exhort you that when ye shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that ye should read them, that ye would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men, from the creation of Adam even down until the time that ye shall receive these things, and ponder it in your hearts. And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that ye would ask God, the eternal Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, if these things are not true. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart and real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you shall know the truth of all things." I would love for you to take time and ponder, what does Moroni's promise, as we often call it, mean to you? What can that look like for you individually? What does it look like? What experiences have you already had with this promise? President Nelson said in April 2018, "The prophet Joseph Smith set a pattern for us to follow in resolving our questions. Drawn to the promise of James that if we lack wisdom, we may ask God, the boy Joseph took his question directly to Heavenly Father. He sought personal revelation, and his seeking opened this last dispensation. In like manner, what will your seeking open for you? What wisdom do you lack? What do you feel an urgent need to know or understand? Follow the example of the prophet Joseph Smith. Find a quiet place where you can regularly go. Humble yourself before God. Pour out your heart to your Heavenly Father. Turn to him for answers and for comfort. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ about your concerns, your fears, your weaknesses. Yes, the very longings of your heart. And then listen. Write the thoughts that come to your mind, record your feelings, and follow through with actions that you are prompted to take. As you repeat this process day after day, month after month, year after year, you will grow into the principle of revelation. Does God really want you to speak to you? Yes. I hope that you can take this into consideration as you seek after to know if the words that you have been reading over the last 90 days are true. Seek a quiet place and then humble yourself. Pour out your heart to Heavenly Father. Tell Him all about what's happening, what you've done, what you need help with. Turn to Him for comfort and for answers. President Nelson says to pray in the name of Jesus Christ about your concerns, your fears, your weaknesses, and the longings of your heart. And then you need to listen. And then write down the thoughts that come to you. In the middle of your prayer, open your eyes and write down your thoughts, or record them in your phone or somewhere. Record your feelings and follow through with actions you are prompted to take. Do not forget that we are reading the Book of Mormon because Elder Rasband asked us to flood the earth with the Book of Mormon 6 months ago. We are reading the Book of Mormon to be reminded and to gain a testimony of not only the Book of Mormon, but of Jesus Christ. To know what is in this book so that we can share it, so that we can talk about it. Talk about the Book of Mormon. Bring it up with your friends, if they're members or not. Have a discussion about it. Bring it into your daily discussion with your family. Talk about the Book of Mormon. You don't have to flood the earth by going and giving a Book of Mormon to everyone around you, especially if they already have one. But go and discuss it. Flood the earth with its knowledge, with the things that you've learned and the things that stood out to you. That is a way to flood the earth with the Book of Mormon. And I just want to give a shout out to two of my kids. My oldest two kids have actually given Book of Mormons to their friends at school, which I think is incredible. They talk about faith a lot with their friends, and they've had this amazing opportunity to share the gospel and to give a Book of Mormon to people that they know. And they have both loved that opportunity. Follow through with the words the prophets have asked us to do. And don't forget why we're reading the Book of Mormon. We need to flood the earth with the Book of Mormon. Go back and read Elder Rasband's talk. I hope that's what you do tomorrow or Sunday, as you have some time where you finish reading the Book of Mormon. I hope that you will go read Elder Rasband's talk. I reread it this week and it is amazing. It's amazing. Go read it again. There's a phrase that stood out to me as I was reading these. He says in verse 4, I would exhort thee that thou would ask God. In verse 7, he says, I know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, I would exhort you that you deny not the power of God. Verse 8, and again, I exhort you by my brethren that you deny not the gifts of God. Verse 27, and I exhort you to remember these things, for the time speedily cometh that ye shall know that I am lie not. Verse 30, I would exhort you that you would come unto Christ and lay hold upon every good gift and touch not the evil gifts, nor the unclean things. 6 times within 30 verses, Moroni says the word, I exhort thee. Ask God, deny not the power of God, deny not the gifts of God. Remember God is the same. Remember these things. Come unto Christ. There are a lot of things besides asking if the Book of Mormon is true that we are being reminded of. At the end of this, we're being reminded of all the things that we've been reading and all the things that the prophets have been teaching, and I love it. All right, one part that I love is verses 8 through 18 is a list of spiritual gifts. How can you know your spiritual gifts? And please remember, this is not the only spiritual gifts available. There are hundreds of spiritual gifts available. What are your spiritual gifts? If you don't know, I would love for you to ask your spouse, ask your children, ask your very closest friends. And I would also love for you to look at your patriarchal blessing, especially if you haven't read it recently. I would challenge you to do that. Read your patriarchal blessing and see what gifts are there. And it may not list them as, oh, here's a gift, but it's there. And recognize the gift that you do have and be accepting of it. It's, you don't have to pretend like you don't have a gift just to be humble. God gave you that gift for a reason, and seek after that reason. And please don't forget that if you want a gift, if you need a gift temporarily or even permanently, you can pray for that gift. You can gain new spiritual gifts. We aren't just one and done. We all have spiritual gifts and the opportunity to gain new ones. I want to end by reading verses 32 and 33. Yea, come into Christ and be perfected in him, and deny not yourselves of ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye shall be perfect in Christ. And if by grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye come no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ, and by the grace of God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of sins, that ye become holy without spot. Thank you for reading the Book of Mormon with me. I hope this weekend that you will pray to know that Jesus is your Savior, to know that Joseph Smith translated this book by the power of God, and that the teachings within it are true. And I pray that you'll do that with a pure heart, just like Moroni talks about. I hope that you'll take time to read Elder Rasband's talk from this last general conference. This day is what it's called. And I also would encourage you to read this talk by President Nelson. I have a link in the footnotes below. It is called Revelation for the Church, Revelation for Our Lives. And it was a life-changing talk for me and my husband, actually. We both love that talk so much. I would also like to invite you to a challenge I just decided to do yesterday. But I have decided, in preparation for General Conference and for Easter, I am going to not be on social media. And I would invite you, in preparation for conference and for Easter, that you not be on social media either. That you really think about your relationship with your Savior and what you need to take away from General Conference and how you can prepare your family and your home to have the prophet's voices within your own home. And then as you prepare to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much again for doing this 90-day challenge with me and coming to know Christ better through the Book of Mormon and to be reminded of the importance of the Book of Mormon and why we need to flood the earth with it. Thanks for joining me. Have a great day.